Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You know, Steve, at some point, they're just going to have to either credit the City Connect uniforms and declare them that that's it. We're wearing these the rest of the year, even if they were to lose, which I don't think they're going to. I mean, like the rest of the year. Certainly not on this homestand, or at least against the White Sox. Or, and I'm just spitballing, Randy Arozarena is actually back. He keeps pumping home runs out of the yard. This team's going to be fine.
He's got, what, 3 home runs on the homestand?
Yeah.
But more impressively, he's walking a lot now.
He's seeing the baseball. Like we talked the other day about this, like the first way you know you're coming out of a slump as a hitter is you start, you know, organizing the strike zone. You stop swinging at pitches out of the strike zone. You see a lot of pitches. Because when you're going bad, man, it's 0-2, 1-2 every time you get to the plate. Hell, you go up there and look at the scoreboard, it's already 0-2. And that's been just the opposite for him on this homestand, is that he's walking an awful lot. Was it 3 walks the other night? He had more, a couple more last night, I think?
I think he had one. Just one home run, or maybe he had 2.
Yeah. But no, he's seeing the baseball, and of course, you know, you hit what you see. But the swing looks good. The confidence is back. That's the biggest thing. I mean, it's all – he knows how to hit, right? It's just selecting your pitches, and then when you get it, taking advantage of it. So he looks great. The the rest of the team looks great. They got a good pitching performance, which was nice. Now, again, this is the Chicago White Sox, a team that I still can't believe they got swept by the other day. But – they did. So this is much better is the way they're playing now. But yeah, Zach Eflin was good. Mustache aside, what do you think about the mustaches suddenly sprouting up on his team, by the way?
Well, they're winning, so you got to stick with it now. I mean, you know.
I think they may all grow one now, right?
He was losing it, so he decided to do – he asked his wife, and he said, I want to do something different. And so she said, go ahead.
Yeah.
He's got the mustache now, but he went out in 7 innings. The longest start by a Ray starter this year, by the way.
Yeah.
One earned run. Just the one home run he gave up. And so now he's got to keep the mustache. I mean, there's no doubt about it.
He had the beard. He shaved that after the 1-5 road trip in Chicago and Milwaukee. And so just to switch things up a little bit, which was nice. And, yeah, I mean, this was his best game pitch. Like they need – you need your ace to kind of be your ace of the staff, and he needs to get back to that. Also, and this is not to go overlooked, Randy Arozarena recently switched back to his 2023 walk-up song, right? So there's a lot of things going in their favor. It's amazing to me just sort of how, you know, the superstitions, like, oh, athletes have a little bit of routine, and you could claim that routine is superstition and really just kind of justified, if you will. But I think there's more in baseball than anything else because it's a game of routine, right? You know, you come out onto the field at a certain time if you're playing at 7:10 or you know, in the afternoon. Like you sort of know when you're going to take batting practice. You know when you're going to stretch or warm up in the outfield. And guys generally stick to a kind of a schedule of their own choosing to some extent. But
it's also a game where you have a lot more time.
You do.
And once you're in the lineup, you're in the lineup. Like in football, guys are running in and out of the field and, you know, rushing in for the next play, and this guy's coming out. Hockey, you're constantly changing on the fly. You know, but baseball, the same lineup. Okay, I've been out here for 10 minutes waiting, didn't touch anything. I'm going to run in. Oh, don't step on this line.
Yeah.
Don't do this. You know, like you have so much time in baseball.
It's
a little
point.
Less now with the pitch clocks, but.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's I draw something in the dirt before every batter or.
Oh, yeah. Or behind the mound or.
Yeah. I mean, just everything, you know, everything that goes in baseball just has a lot more time.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I said, football, okay, don't step on the line, but all of a sudden, go in, you're in now. You know, you got to rush right. in, you got 5 seconds to get to your spot, and the other guy's got to get off the field. Like, you don't have time to go, hold on, I can't step on this yard line. I can't, you know, you don't have time for that in football.
And it's a game of routine, right? I mean, in that, you know, the game, the every play in baseball, it's the only sport where the defense has the ball in their hand, right? So, you know, it starts fairly routinely with a guy on the mound holding the baseball and the batter at the plate, you know, and so there is sort of a rhythm to it. But, man, these guys, whatever they're doing, and I just think it's, you know, a combination of, you know, they're playing better, obviously, and maybe you can credit the uniforms, but there was an energy really going back to last, you know, Friday when I was there about this team. And it's never fun when you lose. And so it's hard to shake it when you're playing bad and you're coming off a road trip like that. And as much as it's not look good, feel good, play good, I mean, there's that. But I think the uniforms in a weird way sort of represented, and being back home mostly, sort of represented a new start. You know what I mean? You're looking for anything that kind of says, okay, we can, you know, we can change the narrative here. Like, we got something's different, right? And, you know, could be the uniforms, could be being back at the Trop, longer homestand. Certainly the opponent helps, or the opponents in this case. You know, but whatever that thing is, there's just a better vibe. And, you know, they're passing the at-bats down the line, and guys are picking each other up when they have runners in scoring position. It just looks right. It just sort of looks the way it's supposed to look. Now, do I think this team is going to beat the Yankees in the American League East? No, I don't. And we're going to find out what happens when the Yankees come here in a couple of days. But they're back over 500, right? And so, you know, where they were just went five or six games ago, you got to give them a lot of credit. They're 19-18, and you're not in last place anymore. And, you know, you had a really bad, not a really bad, but a pretty bad April, and you're off to a really good, you know, decent start in May. So that's kind of what the season is. It's sort of month to month. You remember last year they had that awful, was it June? I think it was just a disaster.
Yeah, it went like six wins, like 6-22 or something like that.
Kind of. If you'd have done that to start the year, and I know they won like 13, 14 in a row to start the year, but if you'd have done that in April, everybody would have buried you, right? And rightfully so. So maybe they'll avoid that really bad month. But, man, I like the way they look. And you know, having Josh Lowe, right, they're going to get more guys back. I guess you said – Taj Bradley might be headed back up this way.
He's with the team. He hasn't. He's here. He's in Tampa or Tampa, St. Pete. Not sure he'll pitch. Probably Friday or Saturday. They'll activate him before his start. It looks like Ryan Pepiot is going on the IL. He had another CT scan. Mm-hmm. Remember, he was hit by what 107 mile an hour line drive.
Yeah, big contusion there.
Yeah, the CT scan again was negative on Tuesday, but. Looks like he's probably going to head to the IR just to for precautionary reasons, if nothing else. So Taj Bradley kind of slides in there, which, you know, the timing couldn't – there's never good timing to get hurt or have a scare like that. But when you've got a guy ready to come up at that time, it's, you know, definitely a better time than not. So he's coming back. Pete Fairbanks starting a rehab assignment in Durham on Tuesday. Brendan Lau starting a rehab assignment on Tuesday in Durham. So – Jonathan Rhonda had a big day at the plate in Durham.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're starting to get some reinforcements. Johnny DeLuca, of course. Well, I had him for MVP. He didn't get an RBI on Tuesday night, so now bench him. Bring Siri back. He stinks. He only went 2-for-3, but no RBI, so, you know.
Yeah. Well, I don't think you're going to see Jose Siri anytime unless Johnny needs a day off because he is locking it up.
I think you will see Siri some. I think DeLuca is going to be the majority, but the Rays aren't a team to just put a guy on the bench.
They're not going
to
just put him on the shelf.
They also don't put a guy out there and play every game. Yeah. Unless you're Rosarena, that's about as close as you get on this team. And even he doesn't play every game. But Josh Lowe's back. I mean, it's starting to look, the uniforms were probably part of it coming home. Probably the team, hey, let's – you know, forget that five out of six you lost on the road. Let's come to the park with new energy. You had the new thread. You had DeLuca up. You had Alex Jackson up. And
The players made the difference. Yeah. I mean, DeLuca has had such a great homestand, and he immediately started driving in runs, getting big hits. They scored 10 runs the first game back, mm-hmm. and that was a season high. And, they were down. It's hard to believe, but they were down 3-0 in that game right away to the Mets, and they came back with a 3 spot themselves, and then it was crooked numbers the rest of the way. So, it could have gone south and continued south for some time, but they made sure that they got it started early against the Mets, and they just haven't looked back. And yeah, I think the energy is better, but it's about players. It's about guys producing, and even though, you might not think that, you're sort of waiting for different players to come up and give you that boost. But DeLuca was able to do it, and sometimes that's all it takes is one guy to get hot in the right part in the lineup. And especially the way his hits have produced runs, and he's driven in 10 runs, and so that's, the infusion of someone like that was supposed to start the year, got injured. They knew he was a good player, and that's why they got him, but he just had to work through his physical stuff. And when he got here, he produced right away, and that's guys feed off of that. So it's about players, and right now he's sort of been the catalyst to sort of all of this. And then of course, Randy, the guy that's just been sort of steady mashing the ball is Isak Paredes.
He's fantastic this season.
He's having a great year. You know what I mean? Like, just outstanding year.
They hit another home run on Tuesday night. He's got 8 of the year, leading the team. He's batting just under .300 at .299.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he looks great. I think he went 3-for-4, and they said there was his 6th multi-hit game in his last 12. He's also been on base 8 games in a row, and so yeah, he's also their leading home run hitter, one of the top 10 in the American League, so if not all of baseball. So yeah,
he's got 22 extra base hits. He's got 38 hits total, but 22 of them extra base hits.
That's terrific. Yeah, slugging percentage is way up, so yeah, they're getting some good performances when they need them, and certainly, getting Randy going is a big deal, and Yandy and all those guys, but
They still have some issues defensively, and it showed up again tonight. Caballero, I mean, they're still bottom 5 defensively, and you just don't think about that for the Rays. That's the stunning
thing. I mean, the pitch, pitching and defense is all you think about when you think about the Rays, and they don't play defense anymore very well. And you kind of look at their lineup, and you go, "Yeah, I kind of get why they're not very good on defense." used to be you look out there, and there's a plus glove at every position, and that's just not the case. So that part of it needs to come back, at least make the routine plays. Could they be getting some help soon, Steve? I mean, I saw a story out there on one Wander Franco, apparently, that he's going to face finally his accusations, in terms of the problems he got in both with the Dominican Republic and here in the United States. These are prosecutors in the Dominican Republic are supposed to present formal accusations against him in a court in June, according to a Dominican newspaper. El Nuevo Diario reported that, he's accused of commercial sexual exploitation of a minor. And, of course, we know about, the then 14-year-old girl, et cetera. But listen, I don't know if this is the beginning of what would eventually lead to his suspension from baseball and maybe disassociating with the Rays forever, or could this begin a process that, if he's obviously found not guilty or some adjudication occurs, then is there going to be a scenario where the Rays have to make a decision, or Major League Baseball, more importantly, would have to make a decision, and the Players Association, as to whether or not they're going to discipline him as well.
Well, if there's no charges,
mm-hmm.
or he's found not guilty or innocent,
guilty, yeah, mm-hmm.
then unless, I mean, I don't know the legal ramifications, but
yeah,
at that point, he should be cleared to return to the United States.
Right. Then MLB could presumably look into things.
They could, but I don't, if he's, I don't know if they would do anything. And if not, then he's back on the Rays. Like, the Rays can't not play him. The union would fight that. Or if baseball tried to suspend him, the union would fight that.
Yeah.
So it'll be, you know, no, granted, we're getting ahead of ourselves. They're going to present the charges in June. And I don't
know. Yeah, we don't know the outcome, but.
Yeah. And I don't know how their legal system works and.
Or how fast, you know.
How fast or what that means exactly. But.
Right, right.
We may have some resolution before the season's over, maybe midsummer.
Yeah, and I wasn't sure that would even be remotely the case.
Yeah, and the resolution, you know, maybe he's guilty, and at that point, I'm guessing he wouldn't be able to work in the U.S. Baseball at that point would suspend him or allow the Rays to cut him and void the contract, I'm assuming, although I'm guessing union would fight that too.
Possibly. He's on administrative leave still, right. Or has been since March 28th. They're still paying him, though. Right now, it's just a $2 million salary. They're on the hook for a lot more for him, though.
It's about a $182 million contract, plus there was an option year or two at the end. But
Yeah.
You know, so, but until the Dominican Republic has some definitive answers or decisions, there's really nothing baseball or the Rays can do. I mean, he's in the Dominican. I don't think he's allowed to leave the Dominican Republic.
Right.
And so, you know, until that, but now we kind of have a June date they're going to present at least what they found and maybe charge him, or I don't know if that means a trial starts right away if they charge him. I'm not well-versed in the Dominican Republic judicial system.
They bind him over for trial at all, you know, like, I don't know, but it's something that seems like we might be working towards sort of a resolution, at least in that case. And, you know, it would be interesting. And again, the facts of the case will be known once it's tried in the Dominican at some point. But like, even if he's somehow found innocent, not guilty, acquitted, whatever the correct term will be at the time, don't you think that there will be fans throughout Major League Baseball that will hold their noses or worse when Wander Franco comes to town? I mean, if you walk him into that clubhouse, regardless of what the outcome of the judicial process is, there's going to be noise in and outside, you know, that the stadiums that they play in. I think I can only imagine.
I think there's no question about it. I think
he's not going to be warmly received any place. I don't know about Tampa, but in St. Petersburg, but any place else.
Well, yeah, I guess, you know, some of it depends on what they find in the Dominican Republic.
True, and, you know, that's true, yeah.
Is he no charges? Is he found innocent? Was he, you know, or does he get charged with something lesser?
Lesser and made to make restitution or something, yeah.
Yeah, you know, is it a plea deal? I think a lot of depends on what happens.
Yeah. Yeah, how the case turns out.
But anywhere he goes, this is going to be, you know, he's going to be heckled for this for his career.
Yeah. No, it's a scarlet letter he's going to wear. And that's tough. Yeah. And that's tough, not just for him, but for his teammates too. You know, that affects the ball club. Well,
I think it's even harder for the teammates.
Right.
Because it wasn't anything they did. Now, granted.
Yeah.
Don't know if he's innocent or guilty.
Yeah. But people will ask them about him. You know what I mean? Like there will be, you know, sort of a, you know, sort of a line of questioning that will stop at some point, but initially, at least, you know, teammates will be, you know, sort of, hey, give me your reaction on Wander being back, and then what do you say? You know, like, so it's a delicate situation, and maybe it'll be resolved one way or another sooner than later. But in the meantime, man, they're playing well. They're not playing great teams. They're doing what you do to teams like that, and they just keep rolling, and pretty soon, before long, this homestand will turn to facing the New York Yankees, and then we'll have a better idea of if this is, you know, fool's gold or not, because right now it's all about the energy, the City Connect uniforms, all of that. I'd never take them off. There's no way. I think they're going to continue wearing them. You have to.
Those you have to wear have them to till stink you lose. By now.
I know, right? Somebody said to me, Andy and Neil talked about, they did talk
to the equipment guys. They are clean. They have been washed.
Of course they're washed. It's funny to me, but somebody asked me.
Well, there's some that would think, no, you don't even wash them. You have to.
Well, and yeah, because that's the mojo, right? Like you say, like, oh, I don't wash these. But if you look at them,
no matter how superstitious I was.
Yeah. The amount of dirt that they acquire when they're sliding headfirst and all that, yeah, of course they've been washed. But they are undefeated in them, so I would not take them off either. I'd keep wearing them and ride it out. Who knows how far you can go? You know, it's pretty impressive.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Well, the Bucs are going to be, Ken, their rookie minicamp starts Friday. That's going to be Friday and Saturday. And I thought that I was going to be busy Thursday night because I thought that that was the day that the NFL would release its 2024 schedule. Not so fast, my friend, as my good friend Lee Corso would say. And that is because it's going to be a week from Thursday, May 15th,
Wednesday.
I believe.
Wednesday.
Or Wednesday, Wednesday. I'm sorry, a week from Wednesday on May 15th. And then we'll get to know. And listen, there were hints of this just a couple days ago when I was kind of, you know, snooping around about, you know, sort of when this thing would come out. I think it boils down to this. There are still maybe some contracts, TV contracts, streaming contracts, who knows, that have to be buttoned up or perhaps games agreed upon. And from what I hear, they may involve the two Christmas Day games. They're going to play two games on Christmas Day. NBA be damned. And somebody's going to either stream those, televise those, whatever. But, you know, you've got to have all your national TV games, everything sort of locked in. And so there might be some haggling about whether
some of the negotiation may be, you know, okay, you want us to pay $100 million or $120 million, whatever it is. Like, yeah. We want
a better game.
We want Kansas City. We want.
Heck yeah.
You know, whatever team, you know, take your pick of whatever team that you want.
Give me
Giants
a better matchup. Yeah. Yeah.
So that's part of it. So once you release your schedule, you have less negotiating power.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. You just, the pieces are already in place and then you just got to kind of fit them around. But it's still an unbelievable undertaking when you think about all the various stadiums, the multi-use stadiums, you know, who's playing where, when, what concert. Like, there's just so many moving parts to this thing. All I know is that the Bucks have the possibility of playing either in Dallas or Detroit on Thanksgiving Day. And so I'm waiting to see that one. Of course, you could always end up on Christmas, which is never a great thing, whether it's home or away. So there's always an anticipation, not just from fans, but from us. Who kind of want to see, frankly, what our fall and winter is going to be look like and where I'm going to spend it and what days. But we can wait a little bit longer to see the NFL schedule. I'm amazed when they put these things out that they're able to sort of like address so many different, you know, needs and teams and availabilities. It's just
except when they screwed the Bucks a few years ago.
Yeah.
When they had one home game in a 7-week span, except it was in London.
That's right.
Remember, it went like 49 days between home games or something.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
and they screwed up, and they admitted afterwards, yeah, we screwed that up.
Yeah, that was probably a little too long, you think?
Yeah, they looked at the schedule, the home and away. Yeah, there's a lot of road games there and forgot that home game was not home.
It's not in Tampa. They would have never done that to Tom Brady, I tell you. Not a chance.
No.
Brady would have picked what games he wanted to be home and win. That's just the way that worked, but. I'm always excited about the NFL schedule. And, of course, the Bucs are going to have their hands full no matter what because they are absolutely have one of the toughest in the league. And the teams just coming here are tough. And then they got games at Kansas City games, you know, in LA against the Chargers, in New York. I mean, like, you know, some difficult road trips, and then Baltimore, San Francisco at home. So it's going to be rough no matter how they place it. I saw also Todd Bowles was on Rich Eisen. That was an interesting interview. If you want to check that out, my good friend Rich Eisen, in his TV show, he was talking about Baker Mayfield and sort of, you know, how, you know, you can't replace Tom, and somebody had to do it. And Baker was the right guy for that. And as Todd Bowles, and I've heard him say this before, like, you don't try to fill Tom Brady's shoes. Nobody can. You know, you put those shoes on the shelf and you leave them there, but then you go buy a pair of shoes that fit your feet, if you want to carry out the analogy. And that's sort of what Baker did. And they just wanted Baker to be the same guy he was that Bowles remembered coming out of Oklahoma. Now, he's grown up since then, and he knows, you know, when to chirp and when not to, and the things he should and shouldn't say that might hurt the team. But the fire is still there, and that was the thing that Bowles said he was looking for and that he saw when Baker came back to the Bucs. And Liam Cohen mentioned it the other day that, you know, even though it's the off-season workout program, you know, that Baker is really locked in and the ball's not hitting the ground much, and he's sort of, you know, leading these off-season workout programs. And so they're very excited because he comes back. He's got the contract that says he's the starter. He knows where he's going to be at least the next couple years. And that's a huge thing for a guy that ended up bouncing around as much as he did. And he's got a good football team. You know, that's the thing. Like, these are guys that he had success with, and many, if not all of them, are coming back. And they've added some pieces on the offensive line and in the receiver room and stuff. So he should have a better chance to win games than he did even a year ago. But that leap should occur now. You know, it should occur between year one, year two. And I think it's going to be a better training camp. I think everybody sort of knows their roles. There'll be competition everywhere, including at running back, like we talked about the other day. Wide receiver, certainly. And competition really does bring out the best in everybody. And you got to continue to build depth and things like that. So, yeah, I can see why Baker is, you know, the best version of Baker right now at this point in the off season. And look, personally, he's a father now. Like, just stuff has happened that has been great for him. And, you know, they have a house on Davis Islands. He's sort of rooted in the Tampa Bay area. Just, you know, so much that's different and changed from just a year ago that's going to benefit him and the team. So interesting comments if you get a chance to see the interview that Rich Eisen did with Todd Bowles. Hey, great news. This will be a bonus. We got Mark Topkin on tomorrow's podcast. Speaking of those red hot Tampa Bay Rays, he will be wearing his, no, he won't. He won't be wearing any of that stuff, but you can tell us about him anyway and why they're going so well at this point and why Mark is still going so well at this point. So we'll talk to Mark Topkin tomorrow. As I mentioned, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, no schedule release this week, but they are going to have their rookie mini camp. Players are coming, I think, Wednesday or Thursday, and then first practice or the practices are Friday and Saturday. Of course, Sunday is Mother's Day, in case you guys have forgot that your wife and your mother and your, you know, other special ladies in your life, you can go out there and take care of them. But we also have time for a mailbag this week, and we're going to do that in addition to talking to Mark at some point. And so you can get your mailbag questions in. You can do that on social media, on X or Twitter, at NFL Stroud, at Sports Day TB, or my email address is rstroud@tampabay.com. Rays just continue their hot streak. How long will it last? I think forever. Thanks for listening, everybody. For Steve Verstick, I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. Have a great day.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.